Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. Hey guys, it's Kitty, and today we have a very special show. I have three guests with me. I have Nick Martin with Lifted Artist Management and Grind Lifestyle. I have Scott Bartlett, founding member, lead guitarist of Saving Able, also founding manager and director of Brandon Jordan Music. I have Brandon Jordan, an upcoming country rock artist from Alabama. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. So I'm going to ask some of my random questions here. You guys tell me, what was your favorite part of your day today?
I'm going to go with the dad life. I took my 2-year-old to get her haircut. That was the best part of my day. Her first haircut. So
that's so fun. That's fun. Scott, yeah. What about you?
So rather than highlight, I'm going to tell you something that I went through that's just indicative of how my life typically is. So I had all these orders that I had to fulfill. I finally got my merch back. And I had to go through it and itemize it, which took 7 hours to get it into the sizes and what have you. And then I had to run to UPS, where it turned out I'd gotten the orders wrong. Some of the addresses were wrong. I'd written them down in this book. And I had to run back to the hotel to get the merch. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And my friend owns the bar in the Holiday Inn, which was closed for some reason. So I couldn't get in. I had to go in this random back way. And I finally got in and I realized I didn't have my list of what I needed to get. So I had to run back out the back way to my car, run back in, have my piece of paper, grab everything, run back out to my car, only to realize I left my phone that time in the bar. So it was that meanwhile, UPS is waiting on me to finish my order because I'd done like 19 orders. And so they had a line out the door, and what was supposed to take me 3 minutes to run around the corner took me like 20 minutes. So I made basically 15 enemies in Ardmore, Oklahoma, earlier this afternoon. That's my day.
I mean, they are kind of not nice all the time here in Oklahoma. I'm not going to lie. Kinda,
as your manager, I'm under the impression we're supposed to make friends and fans, not enemies.
I did leave everybody wanting more Brandon Jordan.
That is good.
I'm pretty sure that video with his little kitten and him shirtless yesterday on Facebook left everybody wanting more Brandon Jordan as well.
Brandon, what was the best part of your day?
So I took the kids out today. They were out of school. My wife was at work. She had some, she's a school teacher, so she had some stuff to do at school. And it was just me and the kids all day. So I took them out to the lake for a little bit. And took them over to my sister's house. She's got a pool, let them swim and stuff, and hung out with family and kids today. That was the best part of the day.
Nice. That's good. Very that's cool. Good. All right. Well, Nick, you do so much from podcast. I've seen you working out. I've seen your home life. I've seen the grind lifestyle stuff. What inspires you to keep going?
To actually show my kids that hard work does pay off. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're passionate about something, go for it. So I just want to leave that for my kids.
I love that. I think that's why I started my stuff, is because I think that I have older children and grandchildren. And so I raised my kids from a different spot than where I'm at now. So I'm like, you guys can do it. I'm gonna do it. You're going to do it too. You know? So I think leaving that is so important for our kids and just for people, you know, people around us, that they can do it. Scott, what inspires you?
What inspires me? What is Clint Eastwood's famous saying? Don't let the old man get in. Mm-hmm. I love that he says that. And by no means am I ancient, but I am an aging rocker. And I've seen what's happened to my aging friends in rock and roll. And it's like, what is it? And then there's the Neil Young saying, it's better to burn out than to fade away. I like to just grind, which is why when Nick approached me about grind, the concept was just, I don't know another speed other than all. I go all in and everything I do. And if I don't, I don't feel it myself. And I think my father instilled that in me. I don't quit easily, sometimes to a fault. But it's just who I am. It's just wired into my DNA.
Brandon, what inspires you to keep going? What inspires
What
you?
inspires me is a lot like Nick. My kids inspire me. I want to give them the best life I can possibly give them. And also, what inspires me is we're only on this world, on this earth, for a short amount of time. And I want to live the life that I want to live and do the things that I want to do, which is create music and travel the world and spread my music around the world. And at the same time, give my kids a good life. And it's kind of a back and forth thing. It's hard to do both, but I just want to live a life worth living. I don't want to be on my deathbed and look back and like, what if I would have done this?
All about what you choose to water and how bad do you want it? Like, how bad do you want it? You can make it work if you really want it.
Yep, that's my motto.
Yeah. So there is in the world right now with so many bands going independent and kind of moving away from artist management because, well, you guys are in the music industry, you know what's out there. What made you decide to dive into that and try and offer some band management?
It was more of a like a mentorship kind of a thing. Just seeing, I have a lot of friends that have gone through stuff and hearing from bands, like talking to Scott of what he went through with his situation. And then other friends that are in very famous bands that have gone through similar situations. Like, how can we eliminate a lot of the bullshit basically of they don't know what to do when they get big. They don't know what to do, how to maneuver through the different things. So we're kind of a different management company as we focus on social media. We have everything you can possibly manage, imagine that a band would need under one umbrella, booking agency, access to a sync company, social media stuff, YouTube, Spotify, everything you could possibly imagine, we have under one umbrella. Whereas a typical manager, you're just getting the manager, and he's just telling you, this is what you're going to do. We're grinding and working hard for everybody that we have under us to open up all kinds of doors, and it seems to be working pretty well so far. So that's kind of why we jumped into this. I'm so sick of seeing my friends fail because they get taken advantage of or they don't know what they're doing. So that for me, that's what it was for.
Yeah, Scott, I know you and I talked a little bit before that you were like, I've been through it and no one was there to help. So what is there another reason why you wanted to be a part of it?
It's really funny when I look back at the trend, like the transgression of events. I mean, we started out, I played a show, mind you, with shingles. I had full-blown shingles, and I played a show for Nick in Oregon. It was me and Jared Weeks from Saving Abel back before everything went down. And we met, and he was intrigued by my clothing line and just my overall sort of zest, probably because I managed to pull through it with shingles. But he followed up with me, and I started out with me and another gentleman that knew Nick, doing social media management. He was gonna help me with that, and I ended up talking to Nick a lot, and Nick was basically like, "What would you think about me managing you?" And I thought about it, and I already kind of had a manager, and I said we'd have to bring him in on it, and then it turned into, "What if we actually managed other people? With my know-how and your know-how, we could do it." And it's just been every day has been another learning curve. But we've fought through it, and it's literally because we grind harder than everybody else. I mean, we don't stop, and we're still learning as we go. We still fall flat on our face, but we get up stronger.
Yeah,
And
such
that's
is life.
really, yeah, it's
Such is
just,
life. We're all gonna bust our ass. It's all right.
I mean, that's really what got me into it was, firstly, I don't know that I'm qualified to manage. And then Nick kind of convinced me. He's like, is there anything you haven't been through? And I thought about like the timeline of Abel. And I was like, there's nothing I haven't seen from bus fires to bus accidents to gold records to platinum records to people getting married on the road, people breaking up on the road, people losing loved ones on the road. There's nothing that I haven't been through. And I've had record, huge major record label deals. I've been signed to independents. I've promoted. I've been a talent buyer. There's not much I haven't done. I haven't been a bus driver legally, although I have driven a bus. We won't talk about that there.
So with the difference in how music used to be, I know management and I know bands and all those things used to be way different before social media. And we talk a lot about the difference when COVID hit, that hit a lot of musicians differently. What do you feel like is the biggest difference, I guess, between what music used to be and what it is now, and how you're going to maneuver going forward with it?
I think unfortunately, the industry looks at social media numbers like TikTok in particular over talent. So you could be the most talented musician, amazing singer, and if you don't have the TikTok following or the viral videos or whatever, nobody's going to care. So that's the unfortunate side of it. So pivoting into that and getting people to understand there's two sides to this. If you can have the talent and the social media, we're probably going to be a powerhouse. If you want to just focus on social media, cool. You get
Yeah.
the viral videos, you're still going to make it. So that's kind of, and every day that changes too. There's different trends, there's different trending hashtags, there's different trending videos. So every day, like my job is to, I get up, I figure out what's trending, what's not trending, what are these bands doing that works really well? What are all these do-it-yourselves bands doing that, how did this guy sell 100,000 downloads in the last 24 hours? So you look at those different things, and then I pitch it to these guys and everybody else we have, and some things work, some things don't work. And right now with this new single they just released, everything we're doing seems to be hitting very, very well. We have a ton of streams in the last like 8 hours since the song came out. The video is doing really well in the last 12 hours, so.
Okay,
So
so
whatever,
you're
whatever
the
we did, we hit the nail on the head this time.
so you're
So
the powerhouse behind the analytics and things like that.
yeah, just kind of making sure that we're doing the right thing and staying up to date on stuff. And I have friends that are in the industry that work within Meta and all the other platforms that I can reach out to and be like, hey guys, what do we do here? So that's very helpful. Not a lot of people have access to that. And I thank that for the podcast that we've done and the friends that I've made through the podcast. And
Yeah, it's really great. Just speaking on the podcast briefly, just since I've been doing the podcast, I've done a lot of things before, but doing the podcast and kind of putting yourself out there, you really do meet a huge community of people, and most of the time they're so willing to help you, just kind of do whatever you need. So that is the beauty of that for sure. All right, so let's chat about this collaboration with Scott and Brandon. Brandon, tell me, did you think you'd ever be playing with Scott Bartlett?
I didn't. So what had happened was, I got to open up for Scott and Paul McCoy at 12 Stones in my hometown back last year. And then so at that point I've opened for several way larger artists, and every time I go in to open for a larger artist, I'm like, all right, I want to make an impression. Number one, I'm very competitive. I'm like, I want to do better than them. I want to kick their ass. And which was very hard to do with those guys, by the way. That it didn't happen like that, but I made an impression, so that
That's good
was
though.
a good So it was kind of funny. One of the cover songs I did, I didn't know this was going to be the same cover that Scott and Paul and John were going to do later that night. Scott heard me doing that cover as Shine by Collective Soul, and I was doing it solo acoustic. And Scott heard that, and I was like, what the? He's doing the same song we're doing. And he listened. And after their set, we was kind of hanging out. And he's like, hey man, I got a boutique management company if you'd be interested in having some management. It's like, yeah, man, I need some help. All the help I can get. And got into that, signed to Scott's and Nick's management company. And shortly after, we started talking about getting on the road and doing bigger things. I'm like, I really need a guitar player. And Scott was like, well, oh yeah.
The wheels started
So kind of
turning.
possible.
Talk to me then about your music that you have out. I kind of dove a little bit into your past music, which I really like. I'm a lyric girl, so I pick like lyrics. But you have some songs that are very kind of more sentimental, and then you have just the like party songs, let's go. So talk to me about some of your songs, just kind of how it's changed maybe through the years.
Like everything I write about is a personal experience or an experience that I've witnessed firsthand. And like Drown in Memory was a personal thing that happened to me. Be a Better Man, that was, I wrote that song for me and my wife for our wedding, released it on our wedding day. And that was our first dance. So I wrote that for that. And then, like, really, I guess I'm a hopeless romantic, I guess you'd call it. So those are the easier songs for me to write. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to like sing everybody to sleep or make everybody cry every time they come to a show. I'm like, so let me write some upbeat, fun party songs. And that's how like Party Down South and Red Dirt Rich and those songs come about. And then Ride is the first song that I sang on that I didn't write the lyrics to. And then it just released today. It seems like it's doing pretty good.
I've streamed it a couple times. I was kind of just diving in and drown her memory. I listened to that. I love songs. I love all different kinds of music, but I definitely love the songs to where I can feel that there's something there behind it. What are some of the artists or songs that have impacted you over the years through different things that you've gone through?
So as far as artists goes, my writing style and music style, I've always loved rock and roll. I grew up in the country, grew up listening to the country. So country and rock and roll kind of like have always been a big part of me. And so like artists like Brantley Gilbert, Southern rock like Lynyrd Skynyrd, stuff like that. Actually, Saving Abel was a big influence. Ironically enough, a full circle moment. So those are all major influences on my writing style and music style.
Right, and this question will be for everybody, and then I'll come back to Brandon. But out of all the things in the world, why do you think music has this great ability to connect people where other things fail? What do you think is so special about it?
I think it's a
I
lot.
can
Go ahead, Scott.
you'll I think you'll like this answer because it's I've agonized over answering this question. It truly is the last true magic in the world because you can't explain why goosebumps happen when you hear something that's just good to you. You know, it's not really describable, but for musicians, I can tell you this: when you're a kid and you've got a guitar and you finally learn how to change from like a D to a C chord to a G chord seamlessly, and you feel like you're ready, and you go into a room with three other guys, and there's a bass player and a drummer, and you all do it together, that goosebump moment is magnified by 50 times. And at that point, the lyrics don't matter. It's all music. Then there's also the poet in all of us. You know, and the thing that separates us from animals is really our ability to feel. When you combine that super moment of music connecting in the right way with lyrics that impact you, it is pure magic. So that's my answer.
I Mine is
agree.
just seeing how music brings people together. Being I was a concert promoter for 20 something years, and every time doing a concert and seeing the amount of people come together and forget all of life's messiness and whatever for that hour and a half that they're in a show is amazing. And then also thinking back all of the memories that music has throughout life, like certain key moments in your life where you have a band or a song that is the soundtrack to that. That for me, that's what music is.
I always tell people, like, you don't have to tell me your story, just tell me like 10 of your favorite songs through your life, and that explains who you are. Just like, if you don't want to talk, just tell me your songs. Brandon, what about you?
So for me, when I'm writing a song or creating music, performing live, it's kind of like a stress release, and it's me putting a piece of myself out to the world. I've always been a socially awkward kind of person. I've never really been really good at like connecting with people. And when I put on when I perform music and put songs out there, it's like a piece of myself that I'm given. And when I see people connect to that, it's the ultimate feeling of like connection between people. Like I've had people come up to me and talk about Drowning Memory, and they're like, Drowning Memory really, like, I went through this loss and this heartbreak, and Drowning Memory really connected with me. And I'm like, that's great. It's like changed my whole outlook on things, made me feel better. That's really what I want to do. I want to create a release from an escape from reality, really, with music for people to like have a good time or like get things off their chest or just forget about the troubles they've got every day. Because that's the one thing everybody has is troubles in this life.
It's true, and especially with that particular song, someone saying that to you. When I do teaching and things like that, I am very big on holding space for people's stories, because I think that like something within your story is the medicine for someone else's struggles. And so without you doing and writing those lyrics or singing that song, like you have no idea the impact that you truly have whenever you do that. So do you think that it's easier for you to be vulnerable when you're on stage versus in person? I, you know, you said you're kind of awkward, and I have family like that and myself too. Is it easier for you on stage to be a little more vulnerable through lyrics?
It's so much easier because I can half the time, like I'm trying to engage the crowd, but I'm looking through the crowd and I'm like envisioning the situation happening in my head as I'm singing it. And I'm like, it's just letting it go, letting it off my chest in front of people without people really knowing that I'm like letting it all go. I
Yeah.
get that. And
Yeah.
then after the show, people corner me up and trying to talk. I'm like, I don't really know how to move my hands or what to say. Like, do I give this over a handshake? Like, what do I do?
We talked a little bit about your song release today, but can you kind of go back through that, kind of where they can find it, what the song's name is, the collaboration, all that?
So it's called Go for a Ride. Nick can tell you where to find it, but if you, it's on every platform. So you can just go, if you go to my Facebook, the Brandon Jordan Facebook, any of them, it's everywhere. And that was by design. We wrote it. It's really funny that that opening groove is something I've been using to warm up with for 15 years. And I've had a
Oh,
million people go, dude, that's a song. Like, why don't you do something with it? So my best friend in the world is Elliot Ives, who's Justin Timberlake's guitar player. And whenever I send him something I'm working on, he always says, dude, you are the poster child for a truck driving through the hills. And it's so funny because he's right, because I love Southern rock and that's sort of what that mood evokes. So I sent it to my buddy Ryan Peel, who is the son of the late Harry Peel, who's one of the best drummers in Memphis. And I don't think of him as my age in any way, but he's 38 now. I've known him since he was 12. And I knew that he was writing songs for people. And he was like, bro, give me a stab at that. Give me a stab at that. And he took my chords and my progression and wrote, Let's Go for a Ride. And he was like, we need a country voice for this. And I was like, I've got a client. I've got the guy. So sent it to Brandon. Brandon, you can tell people this. The first time Brandon was like, I don't like it.
It's like nothing I would say. But
No,
at the
he's
same
like,
time, it's a feel-good song. I'm like, all right, it's catchy. I like it. It's fun.
yeah, it really does. It just kind of catches you, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just like to, you know, I mean, to come to Memphis and kind of work on it and see our process and we could see his process. And that song's been done for months now. So we've just been sitting on it, getting really excited. So today's the day. Y'all go
Yeah.
stream it, go buy it. You can find it everywhere.
It's a great summer song
And it
like
also
that.
has overtime rapping on it. So that was kind of another cool thing that these guys did too, is we had overtime come on a podcast with us and ended up clicking. Like we've all become pretty good friends, and now they're going to go out on a summer tour with overtime. They're direct support
Yay.
for them for the entire summer. But it transpired into he's on this song and he's on another song that comes out next month. But it's kind of cool to see that whole Florida, Georgia line.
Yeah.
Poppy country, Colt Ford-ish kind of a thing. And then it definitely opens Brandon up into just a whole different world of country and even Scott into music. Like, you know, Scott's your rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
And now he's got this pop country hip hop thing going. And it's like, this is really cool to see this whole everything collide now.
It is, because you're gonna reach a whole lot. a whole lot of different people with it
Yeah.
instead of it just being one genre, because there are so many people that are like, I only like this kind of music, and this is not just one kind of music.
And that's the best part of it, you know. Like I always say with songwriting, there aren't supposed to be boundaries or rules. And this wasn't done by design. It wasn't done for the numbers. It was just done organically. We think the universe brought us all together. Here I've got this groove. Here comes Ryan Peel, who was a friend of mine's son, who's now a big writer in Memphis. Okay, now here's Brandon, who's got one of the better voices I've ever heard. And then I've got Nick help steer me along the way. And then we have overtime on the podcast. And it's like, okay, we have this salad of components that if we just mix them all together, let's see what happens. And that's the result. And it's a kick-ass song.
To me, it's really cool because country to me isn't belt buckles and cowboy hats, steel guitars, and fiddle players. To me, country is something that tells a story and has a piece of you and your way of life. And that's what this is.
No, it is.
Okay.
And there is such a transition from how country used to be perceived. I grew up in a home to where my dad listened to Ted Nugent and my mom listened to like Carly Simon, and there was no country allowed in my house at all. None. It was against all the rules all the way across. And so when I got older, I was like, this isn't that bad. And then now, you know, it's just part of my normal, but it is, there's a stigma still with it. Like it's not just about, you know, your dog crying and all that.
A lot of my able, like the rock, like the true fans, you know, have gone on this journey with me, and they're like, "Man, we were so nervous because like your guitar playing kicks ass, but these songs kick ass, and your guitar playing still kicks ass. It's just a little different, but it's like it was really nice to hear that they were coming with me on this voyage, you know, and everybody's been incredibly supportive."
It's not the genre, it's you, and it's the songs, you know, and that's what people don't really realize. They try to separate everything by those genres. So I enjoy it all blended together very much so. Just like I like the singing and screaming together, like that works for me too.
Oh,
Love it.
yes.
All right, Nick, I wanted to talk real quick. Just kind of plug in your podcast and the clothing line. Can you guys talk about that for me?
So we actually relaunched the clothing line today. We brought in Chauncey. How do you say Chauncey's last name? Is it Cocho?
Hotel.
Cochell. So CK was what he goes by. He's a tattoo artist. He was on Ink Master. So he has actually rebranded everything for us. He took over the clothing line, and so we have a whole new everything right now. The guys have three limited edition shirts to basically they're selling those. That's going to help cover the tour cost, and if they see you out at a show over the summer wearing the shirts, they're going to get a picture with you and get you a signed 8x10. So we have that. Everything, the shirts, the Rockwear shirts are all USA based. They're all USA sourced. So everything we try to keep here. Then we have our active wear, which is for fitness enthusiasts. It's all moisture wicking, really good quality, really cool designs. And that's at our wearegrind.com. And it's spelled funny, we, WEAR, grind.com. So that launched today, along with their single, the video, kind of everything. We kind of made it happen all together. And then the podcast that Scott and I do, we have Grind Lifestyle, the podcast, where we talk to the artists that we manage, artists that are friends of Scott's, artists that are friends of mine, entrepreneurs, pretty much anybody that's doing something really cool. Our goal is to get a positive message out there that it's never too late to start something. Just grind and work your ass off, and awesome things will happen.
No excuses. Work, 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 work.
Exactly.
Nothing's being given to you. You gotta work.
Yep.
All right. So they
100%.
can find that online and then podcasts and things like that on Spotify and all
Right
platforms, or
now,
where's that
the
at?
podcast is up on YouTube, so it's all linked into our website. It will be up on Spotify and all the streaming platforms in the coming weeks.
All right, Brandon, where can they find your music, sir?
You can find it on any platform, but you can go to www.brandonjordanmusic.com. You can find all those cool tour shirts that we've got available for the tour support. You can find the tour schedule. You can find all the upcoming events, shows, music videos. All the links are all in the website.
Where do they find the shirtless with the kitten shirt or pictures? Where do they find
Oh,
those?
that would be on the Facebook.
That's on the we're starting an OnlyFans too. There turns out, there's not a whole lot of money in music, so
If you would like to see Brandon Jordan and a kitty cat cuddle up, go to his Facebook. All right. Well, do you guys have anything else that you want to share before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, I guess I would like to say thanks to the fans for keeping an open mind. Because I, rest assured, whether you like country or rock or hip hop or what, we've got all three, and we're not going to stop with changing genres, and we're just going to be us. But we appreciate the support and letting us be us. And y'all be you, and we'll be us, and we'll all be fine.
Yeah, also, if anybody plans on going to the tour, any of the shows, I did talk to Overtime last night. They are selling very, very fast. So it'll probably be sold out within the next couple of weeks.
Do you have the tour dates
The
on?
tour dates and ticket links are up on our website and Brandon's website.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'm gonna then end with the question that I do. If someone were to come to you and they were struggling with their mental health, depression, struggling with anything like that, what is some words of wisdom that you would leave them with to inspire them to stay another day?
I would
There's
go
that.
with the Beatles song, "Let It Be."
Always tell people you matter. That's
It's a good one.
Always tell people to hang in there, keep working. Somebody, if just as soon as you think you got it bad, somebody else has it worse. So count your blessings on the good stuff. There's always good things around you in life. Just got to find those things and cling to them.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on, and you guys are welcome back anytime. Just
Awesome.
let me know if there's anything really that I can do for you guys and support. I absolutely will. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life of KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com, KittyLynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.